Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening. Wherever you find us, please, if you have not done so yet, give us a rating, a review, a subscription. Download those episodes. It helps. And then you can find us on social media. We are at Beers on Us on Instagram. Woo! Our personal pages are Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. That's me. Hi.
Oh, yeah.
And then Patrick is at PDiddy085 on Instagram. His personal pages as well.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Kool-Aid Man. Appreciate it. I'm now thinking of the Family Guy moment. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, or oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And he breaks through the wall. Oh, yeah. And it's like in the middle of like a funeral or something.
There's a Robot Chicken episode where they're like hiding in a bomb shelter from zombies. And they're like, oh, man, I'm so thirsty. I got an idea. I'll call the Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. And the Kool-Aid Man busts in. Oh, yeah. And starts eating them because he's a zombie.
That is funny. I love Robot Chicken, but I do not know that scene at all. What we're going to do today
is a little all over the place.
It's going to be the final what's in the box from the original box the messenger sent us. Now, the messenger has given us beers after the box, but this is from the original box where he gave us eight total.
Something like that, yeah.
It was the two...
Bierstadt
beers.
Yeah.
It was the two Imperial Stouts.
Bierstadt, baby.
It was the Noir Saison. And a sour, I think, was the other one. And they're on the wall. I should have looked at these beforehand.
Yes.
It was the Oud Goose, right?
Yep. The Trey Fontaine.
The Westbrook. The Noir Saison. The two Bierstadts. And then weren't there two others? Am I forgetting?
They'd be on the wall. No, I think that's it.
Okay, that's it. So six total beers. This is the final one, and it is an Imperial Stout. And boy, are my nips ready for this beer. So we'll drink this. We'll talk about this. But we also, for our beer of the week, we had ourselves a drop in the city this week. And all craft beer nerds are quite excited. And Patrick gave me the tip. Hey, go here and buy these tonight.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. I was going to go right home. And I was like, well, I'll make the trip up to North Portland and buy them.
Yeah.
One of those will be had as beer of the week. And then we'll also talk about stress-induced drinking of choice. As we are recording this the day after Election Day.
So today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday.
It's always a Wednesday.
do something that we would do. The results are still filtering in. But yesterday was stressful for everybody. Literally everybody. Mm-hmm. No matter who you voted for, it was stressful. And yesterday was a day of drinking. And what did you choose to drink? And what did we choose to drink?
Yeah.
That's what we will discuss. What are your drinks of choice when you are stressed and want to calm your nerves? It's not just Election Day, but any because it was Election Day, that's just kind of the impetus of the conversation. But, you know, before going on a first date, a little bit stressed out, have yourself something, calm the nerves a little bit, lube yourself up a tiny bit.
Yep.
Go kill it on the first date.
Yep.
It's that kind of thing. So we'll talk about that as well. And am I missing anything?
I think so. No, I think you got it.
I did all the teases and everything. I feel like I did them really quick and now I'm lost.
Radio.com, Stitcher, Omni, 1080 The Fan, Apple Podcasts, Google Play.
Thank you. I don't think I did that. That's right. Where you can find the podcast. Every Thursday, 1 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Yep.
What do you do on Thursday at 1 o'clock, Mike? Is that some stress drinking?
I get into work Thursday at 1 o'clock. We're usually recording the podcast around Thursday at 1 o'clock, actually. All right. Topic of the day after our weekend beer. Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained today. Yesterday was stressful, and I didn't sleep very well.
It's all right. Breathe. I slept great. I slept fantastic, actually.
Weekend beer. I had two of the beers that you gave me from your excursion around the Northwest. They were both from Lowercase Brewing.
My new
in
friends
Seattle.
Of the Lowercase Brewing.
I had the Witbier, and I had their Hazy Lager. And I didn't have the other two you gave me. I also had a stout. I had the Nutcrusher in cans, which was the first time I'd seen that in cans.
Yeah, usually 22s.
Delightful.
Great.
As always. But those two beers, wow. They were really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't love Witz. Witz is not a style that I usually go after. It was a really good take on a wit. It was very refreshing. It was very light. I know you haven't had either of them yet, right? You still have them?
I still have them, yeah.
I'd be curious to hear what you think, but the wit was just a solid wit. It didn't do anything unique. It was just good for a wit beer. And then the hazy lager, boy, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So they made it a lager, but they wanted it to taste like a hazy. It pours clear because it's a lager.
Mm-hmm.
And it does taste like a hazy without all the bad hazy flavors that I don't like.
It's excellent.
There was no chalk, obviously. There was no pulp because it's a lager. It's crisp and it's clean and it's easy to drink, but it gives you that like a little over-the-top citrusy bite that a hazy will give you. It's less bitter. It's not so hoppy in that sense, but it gives you the big citrus notes right away. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I've talked about this a couple of times. I love when breweries go completely out of left field and make a style.
Yeah.
You're making a lager that's crisp and it's clean and it's easy to drink, but you want to make it like a hazy. How do you do it? Lowercase Brewing nailed it. It was really good.
Well, and I think that's what's really cool. When I was up there, so those guys aren't big IPA guys. They're not big IPA or hazy IPAs. You know, they're kind of against the grain in that aspect. And everything I've had from them, you know, they won a bronze for their brown this year at GABF. And... you know, they had an ESB on cask, which I thought was kind of cool. I'm not a big cask drinker because I like, you know, it's like nitro. I like my bubbles and I like things pretty cold. But everything else I tasted, I had their Italian Pilsner, which is fantastic. They made an American Lager, which I thought was really good. And so that was fun. And so it kind of looks at it. If you take a brewer that is going to gear themselves towards traditional styles, and they do it well, you're probably going to be okay in drinking a wit that you wouldn't normally drink or a brown you wouldn't normally drink, because I'm glad to hear that wit was good, because I'm definitely like, man, I'm not a wit drinker.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, I don't know, but I, you know, they were nice enough to give me some beer, and so I'm excited.
If you don't like wits, I mean, you're not going to like the beer that much.
Right.
But it's a well-done wit.
And that's the point of it all.
Exactly. That was basically it. I mean, I finished my Jubilee Ale that was in the fridge. I bought myself an Ninkasi box for the first time in a while, and it has Slayer in there, which I like. It has Otis in there. It has Dawn of the Red, and it has another one that I forget. Ninkasi does the best buy date thing, even though they didn't get purchased by Big Beer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't do that. I'm
not a fan of that.
It's stupid. I picked up the box, and it said best buy. I think it was 12/31 or January 1st, and I was like, it's the beginning of November, so I think I'm safe.
Yeah.
Like, I think these are fresh enough. But I'm like, I don't know what that means, best buy 12/31.
Yeah, my thought process is 90 days.
Okay.
Is probably what they're thinking.
So I got it 2 months before the date.
Yeah, so you're 30 days old, which isn't bad.
I'm 30 days old?
90 days.
Okay, yes, you're right. Yeah. I'm 30 days old. So I should be still in the sweet spot.
You should be okay, especially with those beers aren't hop-forward beers.
That's true. One of them is an IPA, I believe. I forget which one it is, but one of them is an IPA. And I mean, Dawn of the Red is an IRA. It's
sure.
A hoppy red, so there's hops involved in it. But you're right, it's more malt-forward beers, which is why I picked it, because I'm like, oh, it's getting cold. Winter's basically started. So yeah, that's been my week in beers. Mainly just those two lowercase beers, which I thought were really, really good. How about you? What have you been drinking this fine week here?
Just had a big yawn. That was crazy.
That's why I was stalling for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. I had an Italian-style Pilsner from Wayfinder, the Terrifica.
You got to try that cold fire one I told you about.
Yep, yep. I got to look for that one. And let's see. I had a newer IPA from Upright that was very San Diego style.
What does that mean again?
So it's a little danker, a little less malt body to it.
Okay.
I had a Wanderlust, which tasted really good on draft. It's been a little while since I've had one of those. What else? I ended up buying some packaged beer. I bought some Cellar Maker, some new IPAs from Cellar Maker. They're out of California. And they're good. I'm starting to get a little over the California breweries just because I'm not getting enough malt body. And so it's just like really light and it's almost like hop water. And people love it. I'm probably one of the minorities on this, but I just need it to have a little more. Yeah, like I said, just a little more body to it. And let's see, what else did I drink? I drank, spoiler alert, I drank a Pliny the Elder and a Blind Pig, which were excellent. I love those beers.
Spoiling.
A lot.
Spoiling.
I know.
Those are in my fridge right now. I'm very excited.
Yes.
I cannot wait to have them. Probably not tonight because I'm not getting home till 10:30. But, you know, tomorrow maybe.
Yeah. And so And then what else? Oh, I have a new little side gig, so I've been drinking a lot of their beer to figure that out.
You want to announce that officially?
Sure, why not? Yeah.
You were waiting until this week because you wanted to start working there. But
Yeah. So I'm going to work a couple shifts a week, just part-time and wherever they need me to fill in at the new Grains of Wrath on Williams. So I've been kind of drinking through that draft list to just kind of taste stuff. And boy, Papermaker Pale Ale and Bill for Speed are fresh batches right now, and they taste fantastic.
I'm very excited to go try it up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just opened last Friday, right? Mm-hmm. Or Monday?
Last Thursday.
So I haven't gone up there yet, but I'm very excited to go up.
Well, if you're free on Friday, it sounds like they're going to tap new batches of Luger, which is their German-style Pilsner, and Hail Santa, which is their winter warmer.
Cool.
And I'm kind of interested in taste that. So maybe we should go there this weekend.
Okay.
I think that's everything.
Yeah.
I think that's all I drank.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Let's take a sip of the beer sitting in front of us before we get into your stress drinking ways. But the final beer in the box is a Bottle Logic Imperial Stout. Would you like to read the details, sir?
Sure. This beer is called Fundamental Observation.
Great name.
It's a barrel-aged Imperial Vanilla Stout. Imperial Stout aged with Madagascar vanilla beans in a blend of bourbon barrels. It is 13.5%.
Holy bleep.
It is a 2019 vintage. Look closely. You've just discovered an Imperial Stout full of vanilla fundamental flavor. Beer was aged in four different brands of bourbon barrels with heaping additions of Madagascar vanilla beans. Sit back, relax, and observe the world around you.
Very, very cool bottle. I like the look of it a lot. I'm assuming that the Bottle Logic beers have a similar theme in terms of like where the logo is and where the description of the beer is, but I like the style of it.
Yeah, and then I got a little extra. This is what the messenger wrote us about this beer. Fundamental observation. This, quote, liquid brownie batter was aged in a combination of Buffalo Trace, which I like, Woodford Reserve, I also like, Four Roses, excellent, Heaven Hill, and Knob Creek bourbon barrels. So that's kind of like
I had some Knob Creek yesterday. As a bit of a teaser.
Yeah, that's some great stuff. And finishes out at a mighty 13.5. Each barrel saw multiple additions of the vanilla beans from one of the best crops in recent memory, ultimately aging the finished batch of beer with hundreds of pounds of over the course of a year. He said he's personally had five vintages of this beer, one of his favorite releases he looks forward to every year.
Very cool.
Secondary value, $50.
Nice. So, my initial thought, and this is probably wrong to do, but I'm instantly comparing it to the Westbrook Imperial Stout that we had.
That was the Mexican
habanero. Cake. Yeah, the habanero stout, which was, you said, the best Imperial Stout you had ever had, and I had to put up there as well as maybe one of my top few.
I really enjoyed that.
This is not as good as the Westbrook. I will say that off the top. I probably shouldn't be comparing it, but because it was in the box, it's my initial thought. This is still a fantastic beer. The only thing I don't love about it, and I think it's not the beer's fault because it's doing this intentionally. It's a little too much vanilla for me.
Okay.
Vanilla is not a flavor that I tend to gravitate towards. I think it gets very overpowering for my palate personally, and I never get vanilla desserts. I'm always a chocolate guy. It's just not my go-to.
Yeah, you like them rich.
I do. Well, this is very rich. But
I mean, in terms of like why you would be more chocolate than vanilla.
Yes. So the vanilla flavor has never been my favorite. This is very vanilla.
Yeah.
I love the description of liquid brownie batter.
Yeah.
I love brownie batter stuff, like, because I love brownies.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite dessert food.
Oh, wow.
A brownie.
Nice.
I mean, like a brownie sundae.
Yeah.
You get some vanilla ice cream on top, and you get some drizzled hot fudge, and maybe some caramel or something. Oh, my. I'm hungry. So I love that description because it is kind of like that.
Yeah.
That reminds me of one of my favorite things dessert-wise that's like easy to get, but it's only out every once in a while, is the brownie batter blizzard from Dairy Queen.
Okay.
And they put ice cream in it, but they also put however they make their brownie batter. It's so good. So this kind of does remind me of that. It's very thick. It's very rich. It's just a little too vanilla for me. That's all.
You know, that's something I always talk about when it comes to vanilla. Vanilla is such a tricky adjunct, just because it's either not enough, which becomes a waste, or it's too much, which dominates the flavor. I personally don't find this too vanilla-y, for me at least. I think one thing that's really cool about this beer, and I don't even know, I don't know if it's necessarily coming from the vanilla beans or the bourbon. It might just be the base beer itself, but it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
And there's some really nice, like, bittering on the back end.
I think that's what saves it for me.
I think the bittering has helped because kind of clean out the vanilla.
The initial sip is like pop vanilla.
It smells fantastic.
Yes, it does. But I, again, don't get me wrong when I say that I think there's a little too much vanilla. I like this beer a lot. I just don't love that flavor. It is dry at the end. For something that is so rich, it is very dry and bittering at the end, which is nice. It just kind of cuts it right there for you. It's an easy sipping beer.
It is. This is really nice. They have food pairings on this too.
Can more breweries do that? Like, yeah. Can every brewery start doing that, please, guys?
Yeah,
you all have great food. Pair your beers because it's fun.
Yeah, Maytag Blue, which is good cheese, steak, and vanilla gelato.
Okay. You can put some of the Maytag blue cheese on your steak.
Yeah.
Have it like a little melty on top.
Ooh, yeah.
Love that.
It says steak au poivre.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe au poivre.
Au poivre. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. So this is the final box beer that we have. And boy, thank you, Messenger. This was so much fun.
Yeah, this is a treat. That's for sure.
These beers were so good. And the fact that they were rare is even cooler, so we appreciate you immensely. And there may be something we're doing with the Messenger in the future coming up as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to look at that. I keep forgetting to look at that. Let's see. This steak has got peppercorns, unsalted butter, cognac,
okay,
and heavy cream. And you drizzle that on top of the steak.
Okay. I mean, I don't love peppercorn with my steak, personally, but I know that's a very common flavor. Yeah, that sounds great. Otherwise...
Yeah.
Butter and heavy cream. I mean, you're just getting rich on rich, baby.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
But now I'm into that. Now I'm into the Maytag blue on top of the steak.
Oh, like, have you ever had blue cheese on
top? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you go to, like, a real steakhouse, that's usually an option. One of their, like, ribeyes or something will have blue cheese on top. Never the same.
Never the same.
Never the same. So, delightful beer. Thank you, The Messenger, and we'll be talking to you soon. All right. What do you drink when you are stressed?
Heavily.
Yes. I got home yesterday and my roommate was already four beers in and a glass of whiskey in.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, I don't drink that much anymore. I am drunk. And I was like, well, I was driving home and I wasn't paying attention. And I was like, has anything changed? He's like, nope, I'm drunk. So his whole plan was to drink heavily.
Yeah.
My plan was to drink stronger things so that I could drink less. But that plan changed because I just wanted beer.
Yeah.
So I wound up having a couple of beers from the Nikasi box. And then actually here at the station, a listener brought us Knob Creek.
Oh, nice.
Because we were talking about it at the start of the show, Dirt and Sprague were drinking Knob Creek on the show. And Suk was like, oh, I forgot to bring in the bourbon. I was going to bring some in for us today. And a listener just walked up to the window with a Knob Creek that he bought for us. And I just let him in. I took it from him at the front. And we had some Knob Creek on the show.
Great.
So bourbon... And beer.
Yep.
And bourbon.
Yeah, I
and
did.
Bourbon.
Let's see. Last night, so I definitely
and
drank.
Bourbon.
I definitely drank some beers. I started my drinking escapades at about 2 o'clock.
okay.
Because I watched Champions League. I watched Liverpool just dominate, which was excellent and awesome. Jota, we love you. Bobby, we still love you too. Don't worry. And so I left that and I needed to do run around because I wanted to buy some beer. For the evening, so I stopped at our good friends at Bridgetown, and I had a Freem Dank IPA while I was there and did a little bit of shopping, and that's why I bought that beer. Then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to swing by Cerveza and see if they have anything Bridgetown doesn't, in case there's
and
something really talking to me. And I just walked in and was like, hello there. And went, okay, well.
And they were like, you can only have one each.
Yep. And then I looked up at the board and they had Blind Pig and Pliny on. And I was like, well, I'm here. I'll have a Blind Pig.
And a Pliny.
Yeah. Well, so I only had two beers. And then I got home. My girlfriend showed up. And then we went to our friend's house where we did like had some, you know, Zoom meetings with some friends and stuff. And just kind of watched stuff. And yeah, so I drank beer. And then I went to the Irish whiskey for a little bit. The Jameson.
Little Jameson.
The old-fashioned Jameson. And I had a little bit of Basil Hayden's as well.
Mm.
That with that group of friends, that tends to be
enjoy Basil Hayden's.
That tends to be one of our go-to whiskeys. Yeah, I'd probably say for like the mid-shelf high-end, that's probably what I gravitate towards the most. I really like it. But I think the biggest thing the biggest thing you have to keep in mind, you know, and you kind of touched on this when you're stress drinking, is understand the long-term plan.
Because
I had a stress drinking night 4 years ago, around the same time. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's weird.
But,
the world is weird sometimes.
The world is weird sometimes. It's like cyclical. I don't get it. And I had like a few beers at my buddy's house, and then we made some cocktails. And then at about 8 o'clock, things were not going well.
No.
And I drank half a fifth of Eagle Rare. And I remember crawling on his floor to the bathroom because I needed to, I needed things to exit my body. And
at 8:30?
Yeah, ended up like passing out on his floor. No. I did that at like 11:30.
Okay, but so this is 4 years ago you're talking
about. Yeah. At 8:30, things were looking a little scary in my opinion, just my own personal opinion.
They didn't get any better in my own personal opinion.
And so just sitting there, I was like, no, I don't believe this. I can't. No. This isn't really happening. This isn't really happening. Swig. This isn't really happening, swig. Oh, that state win. Uh-oh. Wisconsin, uh-oh. Drink.
Swig.
Michigan, drink.
Sure enough, out of hail ale.
Whoa. So I learned. So I've learned from that. So this year, I didn't write it out, but I kept saying to myself, drink to enjoy. You know you're going to drink. You know you're going to get drunk.
Yes.
The lady drove us home.
Don't get S-faced.
Yes.
Just because you're trying to block it out. Enjoy what you're drinking, and you will get S-faced naturally.
Yes. My partner drove us home last night. I was actually pretty fine. You know, she had to get the kids in the morning, so we left at like 11, sort of thing. Got home by 11:30, something like that. But I just kind of took that into account and was like, well, I'm going to start with a lager. And then I switched to an IPA, and then I had a little bit of Basil Hayden's, and then it was like, what's in the fridge? I don't care. Then I opened a Pliny, and everyone was excited. We, like, shared some, and everyone got to taste some. You know, my girlfriend was so cute. She was like, can I have a little taste of that? I've never had it before. And I was like, yeah, of course you can.
You're my girlfriend.
I love you. Here, have as much as you want. So I think that's the strategy when you're stress drinking. So it's like, even if it's, like, before a date, have a drink if it calms you down, but definitely like use it to relax.
Yes.
Don't nervous drink because you're nervous.
Yes. Because
if you nervous drink, you're gonna show up to that first date or to that election and not know what the hell is going on.
I think that was the first date thing, although I didn't do this on my more recent first date because it was right after work. But my roommate's gone on a couple of first dates since I moved in with him, and I'll always know he's very vague when he goes on dates. He goes, oh, I'll probably not be there when you get back. And I'm like, And I'll get home and I'll see an empty glass in the sink. And I'm like, ah, he's having himself a date. Because he will always have himself a couple of fingers of whatever we have in the apartment right now.
Just to ease the mind.
Yeah, you know, you just loosen some nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect thing, because you go into any first date or anything like that. I mean, I was going to say job interview. Don't do it before a job interview.
I've done it before a job interview.
Have you?
Yeah. And I know
you just got to be careful.
I know that sounds crazy, but I think at least in our circle, in terms of like the Northwest and the West Coast in general, I think it is becoming a little more. You can kill that if you want.
Oh, I was planning on it.
Okay. it is becoming a lot more socially acceptable to have a beer. Like at lunch, wine and liquor, you kind of start teetering the lines of ABV and a little too much.
I think it also depends on the type of company you work for and the budget for said lunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, maybe this is just, I've never worked at like a super big company, Suits, that kind of thing. I'm imagining like if you're like CFO going out with the CEO for lunch, like you're probably having a bourbon.
Yeah.
You're probably having the $100 bottle of wine.
Yeah, this isn't Mad Men. We're not getting wild. But, you know, like
some places still might be Mad Men.
Like our boss here, like Sacramento, if we were working all day and he was like, let's go out for lunch, we could have a beer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, we could have a beer. And not just because we do this podcast, but just because it's, you know, becoming a little more socially acceptable. So I have done this before job interviews, which is funny because I haven't had one of those in a very long time. But it's nice to go to a place that you're familiar with. You know, you guys know me when you listen to this podcast. You know me, you know where I drink. So it would not be uncommon for me to have, you know, stop at Cerveza, stop at Bridgetown.
You drink a 10 barrel, we all know.
And have a beer, just one, before I go in. It's not uncommon for me to do that before work. Mostly in the sense of, not because I need, you know, I need that buzz to be able to get through this hell of a day. No, it's like, you have that beer, you know, especially in the day. I tend to drink lagers in the day.
What does one beer do anyway?
Yeah. So you just have that one beer, kind of relaxes you, loosens you up a little bit. And if anything, I always felt drinking, you know, drinking in lower amounts gives me a little extra pep in my step. So when you have those days when you go to work and you're like, man, I really don't want to go to work today. You can sit somewhere, have a beer before you go to work, and then you're like, okay,
won't be so bad.
I'll be all right. Well, this will be fine. And I think we as a society...
Because you did something for yourself before you did something for someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's important to take care of yourself in that matter.
I don't drink before work, but I'll throw on the Xbox and I'll play a couple of games before I leave.
Same concept.
It's just like, it relaxes me a little bit, or makes me mad sometimes, but it's something I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I got to go to work and, you know, I'm just not super feeling it today. Let me play a couple of games of Rocket League and, okay, let's go.
I think it's the same sort of concept. One, I just have a problem and, you know, you have a good outlet. But that's what that's why alcohol stands the test of time. And that's why it's recession proof. And that's why it's, you know, pandemic proof, because, you know, incorrect doses.
That's why it's prohibition proof.
Yeah. Incorrect doses. It's actually quite beneficial for you on a mental level. Like I went to bed, like I was pretty buzzed when we left our friends, but I wasn't like loaded. Again, I was trying to like not get loaded, but I knew I'd be drinking too much to drive. And I got home and I cracked a beer and only drank like half of it and then fell asleep and woke up, and, you know, and I was going to bed last night, you know, stressed still a little bit just due to, you know, current events and things like that. And really concerned that 40 million Americans think that some things are okay still to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up this morning, and, you know, threw the old news network back on, and I got a ton of sleep, I felt good.
And also, the news this morning was a little better for you.
That is also true. Yes.
Yes.
I take this stuff quite seriously.
As you all should.
I was just raised in that kind of household. My mother worked for politicians that are still in office today, years, decades and decades ago. So I've been, you know, surrounded by this stuff for a while. So I've kind of seen how my mom and, you know, her friends and how those people that work in politics, because you know, if I was Joe Biden or Donald Trump right now, I'd be housed for the second day in a row. Because it's like, you're running for president. There's nothing you could do now. Now they're just voting. And it's like, well, I'm not going to make any statements tonight because nothing's going to be decided tonight. So where's that bottle of Basil Hayden's, you know?
Except they both made statements last night.
Well, but. I know. But it's like, for me personally, I'll make a statement early. And then it's like, yo, where's that bottle?
Why do you think Biden's statement was early last night?
Yeah.
Biden's statement was at like 6:30.
Well, yeah, because he goes to bed at 8.
True. He wanted that hour and a half of Basil Hayden's before
bed. And I think, you know, not to get too much into the politics, and I think everybody except for maybe one person knew that things weren't going to be decided last night.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come out early.
That one person knew as well.
You come out early and you know, you say your thing and then you just you crawl back in. You know, this isn't like, you know, I remember in 2008, this isn't like that, where you're on the precipice of something insane about to happen, that, you know, this racist country is about to elect a black man as a president. If you're Barack in that situation, you got to keep a level head. But if I'm Barack in 2008, I'm keeping it chill. If I'm Joe or Donald in 2020,
you're loaded.
I'm loaded. I'm absolutely loaded. That's the different levels of stress. You know, there's stress that, you know, you still got to be professional, and there's stress where it's like, lock the door, don't let anybody in.
Yeah, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, honey, I love you, but you should probably crawl into bed because I'm going to sleep right here, and hopefully I don't choke on my own vomit.
Well, that got dark. I was going to say, hey, text us, or not text us, Instagram us, DM us what you guys have.
1080.
We're breaking too many walls here. Come on. Instagram DM us, beers on us. What did you drink yesterday? Because I know you all drank.
Yeah.
You listen to us, you're drinking anyway. What did you drink?
And did you drink more or less? You know, I'm always curious about this. This is social experimentation at its finest. You know, how do you cope with this? There's a lot of coping going on right now.
That is true. How did you cope? Did you have some weed?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you smoke a little pot?
Did you
celebrate the legalization of mushrooms in Washington by tripping out for 6 hours? Or in Oregon?
Oregon.
For tripping out for 6 hours. You're like, mushrooms are legal? Om nom nom nom.
Did you celebrate the decriminalization of hard drugs on the street by... Never mind. No, you didn't. Be better, okay?
Did you realize that writing in a candidate that is up against the same candidate you're rooting for might have been a bad thing? Did you drink a lot of whiskey for that? Sorry, that was a little too much.
I feel the same way, although I didn't vote for that person because I don't live in Portland.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Actually,
man.
Technically, my address is Portland, but I voted in Beaverton because I think I'm technically in. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't effing know.
That was crazy, man. Everybody asked me. I put in my vote, and I felt good about my vote because I felt that was the best person that I wanted to vote for. And then I was like, guys, this is how it's going to turn out because these people are doing this, and it takes away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's almost as if we didn't learn our lesson from 2016 in the presidential election.
Well, yeah, yeah. Like
I mean, just kidding.
I posted this on my personal Instagram page.
Sorry for being a little overly political here, but it's the day after the election, so it's top of mind. I think you already know where both of us sit.
I posted this on my Instagram page, at pdiddy085, where it's the cartoon, the comic drawing, and it's the guy riding a bike, and it's like, Portlanders searching for a progressive candidate. And then the next one is...
Oh, I saw this.
Writing in Teresa, and he puts the stick in his spoke, and then he's on the ground crying because Ted Wheeler won again.
All right. Let us know what you drank yesterday. Instagram.com/beers on us.
Do you think Ted drank heavily last night? Do you think Ted drinks?
I think he threw tear gas.
Ooh. Make Teddy cry.
Beer of the Week is coming up next.
Ooh, yeah. I'm excited.
We won't have politics in that segment. If you hate us now, I'm sorry. But we also have different opinions, and that's okay.
Yeah, we voted. If you voted, that's cool, baby.
Yeah.
As long as you do your thing.
If you voted and took responsibility for it, that's cool.
Yeah.
Beer of the Week is next.
Yeah, nobody's going to listen to somebody who's like, NFL players are weak. And it's like, did you play? No. It's like, yeah, I don't care.
Beer's on us.
Sorry.
Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. Beer of the Week time! Ooh, that was a really disappointing sound.
It was. Better sound?
A little better. Beers on us, Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. The other beers in the box were Treehouse beers.
Yes, yes. I was just looking at that and I was like, oh, right, Juice Machine and Green.
Yes. Very much enjoyed both of those, actually, for being hazies.
We did, right?
Yeah, we did.
We did like those.
So those were the other ones. So we had Bierstadt, we had the Westbrook, we had the Bottle Logic, we had the
Tréfontaine,
and I forget what brewery was, the Noir Saison.
Side Project.
Side Project.
Right? Let me go look.
And then the Treehouse beers. Those are the eight beers that were in the box. Our beer of the week, which Patrick spoiled in some way, shape, or form, although not fully, is a Russian River Brewing beer.
What up? Second time we've had Russian River on this show.
Yes, and at Cerveza right now, and I'm assuming a couple other bottle shops. Yeah, I know. We're going to finish it.
Yeah.
This is the third of the three that they had. They had Pliny the Elder. They had... Blind Pig, which I don't think I've had, so I'm very excited to try that one.
Blind Pig, to this day, is still one of my top five favorite West Coast IPAs. I mean, it's like, obviously, like, batch-to-batch things are different, and someone might, like, do a one-off of something you really like. But in my mind, between my, like, Desert Island West Coast IPA, it goes back and forth between Blind Pig and Wanderlust. I've always been a Wanderlust kid, and I always will be, and I love that beer, and I probably gravitate towards it more because it's local. And because, you know, I had that beer and decided to go work for that brewery, and they were very good to me for a very long time. But Blind Pig is really high on that list for me.
I've had Younger and Elder, and I went to Russian River and had a couple of beers. I don't know if I had Blind Pig, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
This is one. The one we're having today is one that I've never seen or heard of before. It's called Happy Hops IPA. This is our beer of the week, and it does have a description. Happy Hops was originally brewed in 1944 by the Grace Brothers Brewing in Santa Rosa, which is where Russian River is in California. We are paying homage to the Grace family, whose brewery closed in the 60s, and have revived Happy, the charming hop character who graces the front of this label. Happy Hops is an IPA brew with both new and old world hop varieties, giving this beer bold aromas and flavors with notes of tropical and stone fruits. And yeah, the logo of the beer is like a mascot with a hop head,
mm-hmm.
A yellow hop head and leaves holding a beer.
Yeah, this is the one I see on like Instagram and stuff all the time. So it's like their main package beers, if we don't count their barrel-aged stuff, you know, the Cation series, whether it's Supplication, Beautification, Consecration, whatever, is I always see STS, which is their Pilsner, Blind Pig, which is the IPA, and Happy Hops, which is the other IPA, and then Pliny the Elder.
Yep.
Those are kind of like, I'm pretty sure those are their core brands of packaging. I was kind of sad that there was no STS in town, you know, because you kind of look at it and you're like, well, I mean, you sent Blind Pig, you sent Happy, you sent Pliny. Why can't you send some of that STS, man?
Yeah, COVID, times are tough.
It's that Dave Chappelle, y'all got any more of that STS? but it's cool, in chatting with some of the Cerveza crew, because I was like, how the hell did you guys get this? And it was like, you know, I don't know if I'm fully able to indulge a ton of secrets, but it's kind of like, you know, well, it's like, test the market. It's like, test the market? There's no testing needed. Just send as much crap of this stuff up here and everyone will buy it. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine if you didn't have... Like, there's a limit on it. And I get it. There's a limit because you don't want someone walking in and, you know, they only got so much.
Whole amount,
yeah. Someone would totally walk in and be like, oh, you got 8 cases of Pliny the Elder. I'll take 9. You know, like, you don't want that. You want everybody to enjoy it. And it's a good branding for your tap room as well, for your bottle shop.
Is Vesa the only place that has it right now?
I think Belmont and John's Marketplace got some as well,
right.
I think is what I heard.
I would imagine if you're listening to this Thursday on the 5th, you will still be able to find this quick. If you get out there quick enough, you should be able to find it.
If you get out there quick enough, I'll bet you there's still some at Cerveza. I might stop by there in the morning if I have time, sometime tomorrow and see. But I am not expecting them to be there tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow is the day we drop the podcast, so by the time you're hearing this, maybe gone. But go look.
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow. Oh, right. I keep thinking today's Thursday. I'm going to go today's Wednesday. I'm going to go tomorrow Thursday when I get done doing some stuff at about 3:30, and I'm going to swing by and see if there's any more.
Okay.
I think there's a good chance there will be. Come Friday, you might be in trouble.
I would say that. I don't know if any place got more. I would assume John's got more just because of the size.
I actually assume Belmont might have got more.
That's probably a good point.
Yeah, they tend to get the bigger drops of stuff.
So if you're looking for
but there's more foot traffic there.
That is true. Vesa has probably the least foot traffic
of the three. For sure.
So you might have a chance. Anyway.
Happy Ops.
Go find it if you can. It smells great.
It's just kind of cool to have Russian River in town.
It is very cool.
You know, like...
I remember, was it a year ago, we had Younger on tap at Vesa, too?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And over on the COVID wall, there's a bottle of Pliny.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us that. Chris Martin?
Probably.
He gave us that? Yeah, probably. Yeah. That sounds like a Chris Martin shout out. What up, dude? I miss you. Let's have beers in Milwaukee.
This is a interesting beer. The smell is great.
Oh, the hop character is so awesome in it.
But the actual taste of the beer is not quite as bitter and hoppy as you would expect based on the nose. The nose really is floral and fruity. And they say stone fruit on the side of the bottle. It is kind of that in the nose. This is a very kind of balanced, mild bitterness IPA to me.
Almost like a, you know, I hate using the term because for some reason other people hate using the term. But like almost like a session IPA or a hoppy pale.
It's a little more session than hoppy pale, I would say. But yeah,
I mean, it's 6.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting, you know, you're getting your money's worth.
I'm curious because they don't really say what hops are in it. They just say a mix of old and new world hops. I wonder if those different hops combined punch you less because it's not overboard on one flavor. It's like they're kind of intermingling to be a little bit more mild. I don't know. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm just saying it's way more sessionable. The nose makes you think, oh, I'm getting into a bitter West Coast. Let's go. And then it's way more sessionable when you take a sip.
The nose is one of the cooler things I've tasted. Or the nose. Let's back it up.
Beep.
The nose.
Beep.
The nose is one of the better noses I've smelled in a while.
Agreed.
I think the aroma. You can smell the body, not just the hops. You can almost smell what you think it's going to taste like.
Yep, but it doesn't actually hit that exact taste though. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of a little mind blowing. It's like
the body's a little thin.
Yeah.
I agree, but it's not like I was talking about earlier with those cellar maker beers about those cellar maker beers being, you know, so thin malt wise that it's just hop up front.
It's got a good body. It's just more balanced than hop forward. I think that's the best way to put it.
Trying to see if I can find them in the
The fact that they don't put it on the side of the bottle is a little strange.
Well, it's probably because...
If you say a mix of old and new world hops,
it's probably because there's a lot of different stuff in it, you know.
Can you tell me?
Can you tell me?
Russian River, please?
Nobody's telling me. Nobody's telling me.
Nobody knows
the trouble I've seen.
All right.
I had a girlfriend that hated when I sang that song. Every once in a while, I'd just be like, nobody knows.
The only reason I do that is because of you, by the way.
Nice, dude. It's got a 92 on Beer Advocate.
There you go. If you're looking just for a mild, sessionable IPA, this will be up the alley for you. Well, 6.5, but it's easy to drink.
And we see enough Elder, we see enough Pig on Draft in this town that it's just exciting to taste something new and something different.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like not new and different. I mean, this beer was made in the 40s.
Originally, by a different brewery.
Obviously, they've updated it.
They told the story, yeah.
If this beer tasted like this in 1945, that would be amazing. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed.
Okay. Slight aside. I don't think Ron Burgundy says impressed. I think he says amazed.
Oh, really?
That's one of those like Mandela effect things,
yeah.
Where it's not fake. It's just people have been misquoting it for so long that
and
everyone
now we think that's the quote.
I'm pretty sure when I went and rewatched the movie 4 years ago, it got to that scene and I like said it out loud with it, and I was like, he doesn't say impressed. I think he says
amazed.
I'm not even mad. I'm amazed.
Interesting. Like, yeah. Most people think Luke, I am your father, and that's not the line.
No,
the line is no, I am your father.
Yeah. It's
yeah, dude. It's great. Yeah, everyone thinks he says Luke. He's like, no, I am your father.
I started The Mandalorian with the girl this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From the beginning?
Yep. Watched the first three episodes.
The new episode of the season is just an extension. It's called Episode 9,
mm-hmm.
And it's just an extension. The seasons are really only marketing and shooting.
Right.
But they're basically all, it's just chapters.
It's just a story. I am not as much of a Star Wars fan as both my girlfriend and you. You're both like way nerdier than I am about it.
Yeah, we have problems.
But I enjoy Star Wars, but I'm not obsessed about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I hate the Jawas. Hate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So that episode annoyed me because I hate them.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a good show.
When you got the
egg
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first three episodes, man, that's really good. The fourth episode was a little meh to me, but then 5, 6, 7, 8 are awesome.
Is it just 8 in the first? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 9 was great.
All right.
You just got to remember, like, so episode 8 had definitely, like, a season finale feel to it. There's, like, the last scene is kind of like this sort of thing. But Episode 9 is not like this season premiere where you're used to of like a show like The
it's
Walking Dead.
It's a continuation.
Well, like the show like The Walking Dead, it's like season premiere's got to be crazy. It's like, no, this one's just, we're just still telling the story.
It's the
here.
Next episode.
Still telling the story.
Also, if you haven't yet watched The Boys, so good.
The Boys?
On Amazon Prime.
I don't even know what that is.
I'll tell you off the air or off the podcast.
Let's hear it for The Boys.
That is a very different vibe than the show would give you.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, so... Final thoughts? You have any final thoughts? I'm enjoying it. I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I would. I wanted more hop flavor based on the smell, but still a good sessionable IPA.
I think after drinking those Cellar Maker beers last night, I have a lot more appreciation for Russian River and how they make hoppy beers. And it's not that it's better or worse. I'm not sitting here bashing Cellar Maker by any means. By any means, I think they make great beers. It's just, I feel that Russian River is so much more closer to a Northwest style of an IPA than other California breweries are. I would throw Beechwood in that category as well. I think Beechwood makes fantastic IPAs that have that good malt presence. So it just depends on what kind of style you like. If you're a Northwest IPA drinker, I think this beer is up your alley. I like Pig a little more. That could also be a little placebo effect.
Well, I'll be able to tell you next week on the podcast how I feel.
But they're fresh. So if you can get some at John's, Belmont, Vesa, do it.
Do it.
I mean, I put it on Instagram. So, and I tag Sarah Vesa because, you know, those are my peeps. And I want to make sure those guys do well. So even though you don't hear this until Thursday.
You've seen it,
hopefully.
Instagram.com/beersonus is where you can find us. Send us your DMs on your stress drinking choices for election day yesterday. And coming up next week, we haven't actually planned it fully yet. We are Just get to the last drop.
Well, I got to put it on the wall.
Good to the last drop. Patrick needs to go read the message from the messenger so that we can decide what we're doing with that. Also, we've been noodling some cool ideas for things outside of the podcast as well that we're going to start kind of working on moving forward here the rest of the year. We don't really have a plan next week yet, but we'll be here Thursday, 4 o'clock, every single Thursday.
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys this, like, because, you know, I'm only working a few shifts a week at Grains, I'm doing a little few more things here at the radio station, I should have a ton more free time that I would like to spend on this brand we have here going. So don't be shocked if you guys start to see things here and there that pop up. I got to make a Facebook page at some point. I've been putting that off forever. We should probably get on Twitter, things like that. Just kind of shore a lot of things up, and hopefully we'll have some fun, exciting new things for you guys in the future.
So keep hanging out with us. We appreciate you guys who have been with us since the beginning. It's already been 117, 118 more episodes.
I know. I'm starting to not. I think in the first 2 years, it's like, man, we're at year and a half, and now it's like, yeah, 2 years was in August. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
whatever. We're just doing episodes.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Catorces.